The market in 2023 is forcing investors to be buttoned up and review their financial portfolios like never before. Trusted friends of the Todd Stern Show, Legacy Precious Metals, they can help to advise you on the best options to invest in gold and silver, which both provide stability in times of market crisis. I know this company well, so speak directly to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals by calling 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. Welcome to the Todd Stern Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Wow, do we have a lot going on, and we're just going to jump right into this. And we are waiting to hear some intel on the testimony of Hunter Biden's former business partner who is testifying up on Capitol Hill. Now, this is all happening behind closed doors, so we're not going to have any video or anything of that nature, but we will get some indication of what went down when they interview Devin Archer today, and that will be happening sometime during this program. So hang tight, and we're going to get to that. But you know, there's been a lot of talk about who Joe Biden really is, and early on there was this narrative that Joe Biden was just a lovable crazy uncle who just said whatever was on his mind, and he was just a good old boy. But I have always had a problem with that narrative. And by the way, this is something that has been coming from the Republicans as well. Yeah, we know he's a Democrat, but Joe's just a good old guy. You want to go out and have a beer with good old Uncle Joe. But this guy, Joe Biden, the president of these great United States, is not a good man, ladies and gentlemen. He's a terrible man. He is a horrible human being. And his wife is even worse, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden. They're both horrible people. Now, we're going to play some audio here, and something happened over the weekend that you may not have been aware of, but in an interview with People magazine, the Bidens finally acknowledged that they had a seventh grandchild, that sweet little girl who was born as the love child to Hunter Biden and his gal pal. And this is the Arkansas child. Now, this is a disturbing story. The fact that the Bidens refused to acknowledge this child for the past 4 years, but over the weekend, in a carefully scripted move, they reached out to People magazine so they could portray Joe Biden now as this lovable grandfather of seven grandchildren. As a matter of fact, here is Joe Biden acknowledging that he does now have seven grandkids. Cut 17.
I have seven grandkids, five of them old enough to talk on the phone. You know, every day I either text them or call them.
I want to know when the grandchild number seven is going to be brought to the White House. When will that grandchild be photographed with her grandparents? Who, whether you like them or not, they're the grandparents, but and their president and first lady of these great United States. Where will the photographs be? Will there be photographs of the seventh grandchild running around the Oval Office like the photos we saw back in the 1960s of Caroline and John during the JFK administration? Is that going to happen? But I'm telling you, this is a sleazy move because it's all calculated and it's all political. Somebody internally at the DNC ran a survey, they ran a poll, and they realized, holy cow, refusing to acknowledge that you have a granddaughter is really not good for voters, even on the Democrat side. Because even the godless heathens love their kids. and their grandkids. But I want to direct you to something, and I will remind you of this many times between now and Election Day. When people say that, oh, Joe Biden, that's old Joe. Oh, you know, Joe. He used to hang out with Corn Pop and the gangsters back in the day. Oh, you know, Joe. Yeah, we know he likes to invite kids to caress his hairy legs, but that's just Joe being Joe. Yeah, we know he likes to sniff the kids. That's a little weird, but it's just old Joe. No, it's not just old Joe. This is a man and his wife, Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, who put up Christmas stockings during the Yuletide season. And they put up a Christmas stocking for 6 grandchildren. They put up a Christmas stocking for the family dog. These are people who put up a Christmas stocking for the family dog, but they didn't even have the decency to put up a Christmas stocking for grandchild number 7. And you know what I feel terrible about here is this poor little girl is going to be reading about this when she gets older, about the disgraceful behavior of Grandma and Grandpa Biden. And that's just sickening. That saddens me. It's just disgusting. So anyway, Michael LaRosa, who is a former top advisor to the Biden family, is on the channel this week. I believe he's on CNN, the most profane name in news. And Michael LaRosa is out there saying, hey, everybody always knows that Joe Biden, in his heart of hearts, is a family man. Cut 16.
No one's ever questioned the heart and integrity of Joe Biden as a family man and as a human being and the pain and suffering and loss that man has been through, including the struggles he deals with.
30 seconds.
All right. So that happened. And then Scott Jennings, who is the conservative, the Republican on the panel, he couldn't take it anymore. And he just knocked it out of the ballpark. Cut 10.
But Scott Jennings, the president has made being a family man a central part of his political identity.
It's not Republicans, with all due respect, who made Hunter Biden into a complete scumbag on this and other issues. The ignoring his own daughter for 4 years and the president of the United States hanging up a stocking for the dog, and not for his 7th grandchild.
Okay, look, we can also have sympathy for people who are struggling with addiction. Let's keep this conversation respectful.
I totally agree. And you know where I'm from, a lot of families deal with addiction. And you know who ends up picking up the pieces? The grandparents. And in this case, the grandparents would not acknowledge this little girl. It is offensive. But the bottom line is...
But they have now.
The poll... Oh, what a hero. The polling must have been brutal.
No, darling, the facts are out there, honey. And here are the facts: that Joe Biden for 4 years refused to acknowledge the existence, the presence of his grandchild, a sweet, innocent little child. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say that may be the only member of the Biden crime of the Biden family who was not involved in the criminal enterprise. A sweet, innocent, pure little child who is discarded like garbage by Joe Biden and his wife, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden. Shame on both of you. And shame on CM. Well, I just want to make sure we get the facts out there. Good for you, Scott Jennings. Good for you. And by the way, that's how we're supposed to do this, folks. This is how we play hardball. So anyway, I wanted to get this story out of the way because this really does help you understand who this guy really is. He is sleaze. And I will say this, if Joe Biden is willing to throw the little grandchild, the little 4-year-old girl under the bus for political expediency, you better believe Hunter Biden might be squirming today. I'm just saying it's possible that Joe could throw his own son under the bus. Who knows? I mean, we know the guy was having showers with his daughter, for crying out loud. I mean, we're talking sleaze of the upteenth degree here. All right, 844-747-8868. Do you buy my argument here, folks? And if you don't, give me a call and tell me where I have gone astray. But I think if you really want to understand the heart and the character of Joe Biden, you look at how he and his wife have handled this situation with the grandchild. And look at what they have done. This poor child is going to have to live with what they have done for the rest of her life. You know what? Maybe the saving grace here is she does not carry the Biden family name. I'm just telling you, it's despicable. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, coming up, we have some really devastating poll numbers for the rest of the Republican field. As a matter of fact, President Trump putting out a statement saying that he wants all of them to debate so he'll be able to figure out who the best running mate's going to be. It's really that bad. We're going to get into that. Plus your calls. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Hey, Todd Starnes here, and my journey with Calitrin and losing weight has really been incredible, but it's more than just losing weight. Let's check in with our good friend Elizabeth at Calitrin.
Hey, that's right. You know, with Calitrin, this product is actually good for you, and I don't know how many other weight loss products out there can say that, but Calitrin has been proven safe and effective since 1997. So we're talking about over 25 years of helping customers lose weight with a product that is non-addictive. It's no stimulants, no drugs, nothing that makes you feel sick or jittery. It's just what healthy weight loss looks like. So much more than just a weight loss product. So it is great for the sleep. It's great for joint pain. It's great for all natural energy. And then, of course, proven for weight loss. So check it on our website today, toploss.com.
All right. Again, that's toploss.com. You can also give them a call, 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOP-LOSS, toploss.com, the website. And be sure to use that promo code Todd. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I mean, and how politically motivated was the statement? The whole thing was calculated. Sending the statement to People Magazine on Friday, everybody's going out of town. And by the way, the president says, well, this is really not political. We don't want this to be political. That's a load of hooey, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not even grade A hooey. Because we know, because of inside sources within the White House, that the staff was told, do not acknowledge the seventh grandchild. Those orders came from Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in on this. 844-747-8868. We start today in Jackson, Tennessee on WTJS. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm enjoying the show, Todd. I believe that these high-level career criminal politicians, I believe everything, almost everything about them is just a media creation. I don't think the Bidens, I don't think Joe Biden is a family man. I don't think Barack Obama is any kind of family man. I don't think the Clintons were the natural, normal American family. I mean, even Bill Clinton himself has an illegitimate son named Danny Williams that they don't talk about. So all these people, all these high-level career politicians are a media creation meant to deceive the American people into, you know, left versus right. So once we get out of the left versus right paradigm and realize that these people are trying to put Trump away for 400 years because he's going to expose them, we'll be a lot better off.
Well, Brian, look, I will say this about the Clintons as far as grandparents, and I don't know about the Danny Williams stuff. I've read those reports. I will say this, that the Clintons were at the hospital when the grandkids were born. You know, they're seen running around town with the grandkids, so it looks like they're at least trying to be grandparents. Contrary to the Bidens, who are just very bad human beings, okay, I just don't see how you can get out of the fact that they've ignored a child that was born into the family. It makes no sense to me.
They have to hide who they really are. They really do. I wonder if any of Bill Clinton's grandbabies flew to Epstein Island with him.
Well, probably not, because they're all very small, Brian. So they're little babies.
That's even scarier.
All right, Brian, thank you for the call. Let's go to Betty Lee in Hendersonville on WHKP. Hi, Betty Lee. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Last night, Ray Kelly had an expose on Bill Stevenson. That is Bill's ex-husband. And I'm listening to my echo here. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, turn your radio. Betty Lee, do this. Turn your radio down. And while you do that, I'll bring people up to speed on who he is. He is the ex-husband of Jill Biden. So they were happily married until Joe came along the scene and created such terror And they threatened to destroy this man if they didn't, you know, if he didn't give her the house. I mean, the whole nine yards. And they lived up to those promises. And the poor guy has been under the gun because of that. So anyway, Betty Lee, go ahead.
No, that's right. For 35 years, they've harassed this man. And he is not the sweet grandfather that is portrayed. He was nasty with some of the retorts. You know, he does have anger problems. And he pulled that with Bill Stevenson. Did you happen to see the Greg Kelly show last evening?
I missed that, Betty Lee.
Because that was excellent. And he's going to be on again. But they went through everything, how he was taken for $8,000 because Joe was driving her Corvette. Bill Stevenson couldn't understand why, you know, she never said anything about an accident. Joe Biden was driving her Corvette and had an accident. They came after Bill Stevenson for the damages. And then they went after him for tax evasion for 8 days. Then they have made his life miserable. He gave her a house, one of the houses. I mean, he owned a cafe, I guess, a stone cafe or something. And, I mean, he worked hard, and he had a good business. And so the Bidens kept going, Joe Biden kept going after him and extorted so much money from this guy. And he said, it's been 35 years. So he said, the only thing I feel that badly about, he said, if Trump gets in, he said he'll harass the hell out of him.
Well, so, Betty Lee, I will say this, and let me say this. Ultimately, this poor guy was the victim all the way around. Joe Biden stole his wife. I mean, she's a horrible person. And when you read the background of the relationship, how she used to be the babysitter for the Biden kids, there was all sorts of really bizarre stuff going on in that household. But at the end of the day, her ex was the true victim. Joe Biden comes in, steals the wife, and then tries to destroy the man. I mean, you know, you want to talk about Old Testament. There's some Old Testament stuff going down there in Delaware. Betty Lee, appreciate that call. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Troy on the line. Hi, Troy. What's going on?
Thanks, Todd, for allowing me to be on your porch today.
Appreciate yes, sir.
Joe Biden and the Biden family, you know, a woman spot on last week called in and said that the son is an embarrassment in Joe's eyes. And that, so you have that. So, you know, that being said, he's looking at that child as a mistake as well. Unfortunately, it's always the child that suffers in these kind of relationships. But the comparison between somebody having money and power, you look at Donald Trump, he's got more money than I'll ever shake a stick at, but he's a family man, and he's not let that get in the way of his character. Obviously, Joe Biden has, and the whole Biden family. And I have no respect for that family. I just do not.
No, and there's no way anybody should or could have respect. But then again, this is the same political party that idolized Ted Kennedy in spite of what happened at Chappaquiddick. So, you know, there's really not a high moral bar within the Democrat Party these days, Troy. All right, we got to run there, my friend. We are coming up on a break, and I want to ask your opinion about something. There was a debate over the weekend about Ron DeSantis ordering a beer, and we've got the video. It's up on the website, and it's just so awkward. And I'm wondering who drank beer better. Was it Elizabeth Warren or Ron DeSantis? We're going to be playing some audio when we come back from break. That being said, there's brand new polling data out of the New York Times and Siena College. And folks, I'm telling you, this is Donald Trump's race in a runaway. Right now, if the election were held, President Trump would win the Republican nomination in a landslide, 54% of the vote. Ron DeSantis trailing by 37, even if you take everybody else out of the race, he would still lose by a 2-1 margin. So my question here is, what's going on? Is it time for all the Republicans to throw in the towel? Donald Trump says they need to stick in there. and at least make it to the debate so we can figure out who his VP is going to be. We're going to be taking your calls on this. What's going on with DeSantis? Where did he go wrong? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. There's a lot to dig into here in this New York Times Siena College poll that came out. And yeah, I mean, the numbers are shocking for Donald Trump. Folks, he is the top pick among every demographic. It is male, female. It doesn't matter if you're college educated or high school educated. It doesn't matter if you're a moderate Republican or a conservative Republican. Everybody says Trump is the guy. So at this point, you have to wonder, all right, well, what is the point of these people staying in? You're polling 3%. And by the way, in this poll, DeSantis is at 17%, everybody else polling at 3% or below. But the problem is Ron DeSantis. And what is going on with DeSantis? A lot of people have been scratching their heads over this. We have been, I think we were among the very first to say there are problems in the DeSantis campaign. Now, I personally believe that the issue has been his campaign staff. There are others out there who have been saying, well, no, it's not the staff, it's the candidate. Now, I haven't been one of those people. I am still holding out hope for DeSantis, and the reason why is we need to have a good, strong candidate for 2028. And if it's not going to be DeSantis, we need to figure that out now. And I'm trying to understand. I think I've got a good grasp on this. I was thinking about this over the weekend. There's a brand new interview out from Ed Rollins. Now, you say, where do I know that name? Ed Rollins is one of the legendary political strategists. And he's been running Republican campaigns for decades. And the guy is rock solid. He and Roger Ailes were good buddies. Ed Rollins was a big supporter of Donald Trump, but he said in the 2024 race, he was going to go with Ron DeSantis. So he launched a political group that was showing support for Ron DeSantis. Well, not anymore. So Rollins has officially pulled out, and he's placing the blame squarely on Ron DeSantis' shoulders. He calls him he did an interview with Rolling Stone, and he said Ron DeSantis is a very flawed candidate. He goes on to say, I don't think it's the campaign's fault at all. It's his. I think he's been a very flawed candidate. I have some of the people around him, and some of them are good, talented people. But every time he opens his mouth, he has a tendency to, shall we say, think out loud. And he clearly doesn't understand the game. When you get into these culture wars the way that he has, the vast majority of people don't understand what they are. Now, this is an interesting point. Let me stop here for a moment. So this goes back to the New York Times poll. The Times survey asked a very important question of voters, Republican primary voters. Which of the two Republicans would you more likely support in a primary for president? Would you want a candidate who promises to fight corporations that promote woke left ideology, or would you support a candidate who says the government should stay out of deciding what corporations can support? What I find fascinating here, 52% say they would have they would prefer the candidate who stays out of those things. 38% say they would want someone who would fight the woke left ideology in the corporations. So this goes to the very heart and soul of what it means to be a Republican. We believe as Republicans that we want a smaller government. We don't want the government coming in and running our affairs. Now, let's take Bud Light, for example. Why do you need Ron DeSantis, who now is threatening to go to court over Anheuser-Busch's woke ideologies? He says they're hurting the state of Florida. Why would you do that when the American consumers are already fighting that battle, and they're doing it very effectively, and more importantly, they're doing it without spending a single taxpayer dime? Why would you do that? And for that matter, if you're going to really play this game, and I think the problem here is that Ron DeSantis is trying so hard to prove that he is Donald Trump and he's going to fight wokeness that he's going to go out there and blow up the Republican Party platform while he's doing that. So he needs to, and I think this is what Ed Rollins was saying when the guy is thinking out loud here. Rollins said that he is no longer involved in efforts to elect DeSantis. He previously co-chaired the Ready for Ron PAC, which encouraged DeSantis to enter the race last year. He also co-chaired the pro-Trump Great America PAC. Rollins said in the interview that at this point in time, he would be shocked if Trump were not the nominee. He did predict that President Biden will win re-election unless something serious happens. Rollins' comments come as the DeSantis campaign struggles to regain its footing, stagnant poll numbers, financial challenges. He raised an impressive $20 million in the second quarter, but only 14% of those campaign contributions came from small dollar donors. And that's a problem. He spent nearly $8 million last quarter, and The Hill reports that they've already had to lay off 38 staffers. That's nearly a third of the staff over the last several weeks. So there you go. It is not a rosy picture for Team DeSantis. And again, Rollins was a big DeSantis guy. And I disagree with him. I don't believe that Joe Biden has a shot at beating Trump in 2024. And part of that reason is because I don't believe that Biden is going to be running in 2024. No, I know what he says he's going to do, but I'm just saying. So anyway, a lot of this. So now the campaign is they're trying a different tactic because, look, over the weekend, President Trump speaking in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they had 9,000 people turn out for this big rally, packed out the place. Team DeSantis people were actually posting photos on social media that showed a half empty auditorium. And they did that because they got there like a couple of hours before the event started. And so they're trying to convince people that Trump does not have this momentum, the big mo. So anyway, I want to play some audio here of Ron DeSantis. So they're trying. So the new strategy is smaller venues for DeSantis and more one on one with regular people. So they decided, you know what? Let's put Ron DeSantis in the room. And he's going to order a beer. Cut number 11.
Have a beer with, as always. Yeah.
Well, I'm here. I don't know the other one.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. It's good.
All right. So that's one instance, and that's the laugh. That's Ron DeSantis, and he has that nervous Kamala Harris laugh. Cut number 12. All right, so it was sort of hard to hear, but he's at his own event, and he's going up to get a beer. And he starts asking about what kinds of beer they have and who's going to pay for the beer, what credit card. Dude, just get a beer, and he should have just told her, you know what, whatever you recommend, as long as it's not a Bud Light, I'll take it. I'll drink it. I mean, there could have been some sort of a fun thing, but he was literally anguishing over what kind of a beer to drink. And who is picking up the tab? I mean, that's weird. So we have this video, and DeSantis has this conversation with the woman, and he's very nervous. He doesn't do well one-on-one. And he pivots away, and he has this just disgusted look on his face, like, I don't want to talk to this woman anymore. Let's go somewhere else. And he said it all out loud. Not the part about being disgusted, but it was very clear he wanted to move on. And it's just very strange. And it reminded me of this. Cut 13.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer. Hey, Clover, my husband Bruce is now in here. You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Come over and say hello to folks.
Yes.
So, this is my sweetie.
Hello.
And I'm crazy.
I love you.
I love you too. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, enjoy your beer.
Here's to 2019 and changing the world. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
That's what it reminded me of. I mean, it really did. So, and I'm trying to understand here, what is the messaging? Their campaign staff is very determined to have Ron DeSantis with a beer in his hand, drinking beer while he's campaigning. You remember a couple of weeks ago, he was a bartender, right? He was a bartender serving up anything but Bud Light. He laughs. The guy laughs just incessantly. It's very odd. So, and it may be where he's just not good with these one-on-one conversations. Maybe he's not in for small talk. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay. But he's got to do something about the campaigning. And it's not resonating. What he is selling, the people are not buying. And if it's not fixed by 2024, I'm not sure he's going to be the guy in 2028. I don't think he will be. But it's all very weird. Let's go to the phone. Steve in Maine, listening to us on WLOB. Hi, Steve. What you got for us today?
Hey, Todd. Todd, I'm a 65-year-old veteran. And the first thing, I listen to you every day, and I thought, Todd, he is such a prude. But I wanted to thank you for helping me to clean up my language. I used to, not around people, but when I'm by myself and my dog, I used to cuss a lot to myself. So thank you for cleaning up my language. But Todd, I take issue with what you said about Trump beating Biden. You've sort of led us down this road with Trump. You've been promoting him all along, and I'm a big Trump supporter, but the people I talk to, they just will not vote for Trump. And I'm afraid it's going to be the same thing as the last election, that it's going to be Trump versus Biden, and Trump is going to lose.
Why would Trump lose, Steve?
I don't know. Why did he do? I know you think the election was stolen, and I really don't disagree with that. But the people are in my inner circle, and almost all of them are women, and they're in, you know, my age, 65, 70, and they just will not vote for Trump. And I'm just afraid it's going to be like last time, that it's going to be Trump and Biden, and we're going to be stuck with another 4 years of that ding dong.
Well, look, Steve, I mean, ultimately, I can't predict what's going to happen in 2024. But I do believe that if we take advantage of the same things the Democrats have been doing, which is ballot harvesting, getting out there, collecting those ballots, everybody getting out to vote, then I think we're gonna have a good shot at beating Joe Biden. But we've got to get out there, and we have to get out in massive numbers. Now, I can't help it if there's a woman in the state of Maine who doesn't like President Trump because of what he said in a bus almost 15 years ago. I can't control that. But I can tell you this. I thought he did a heck of a great job in the White House. He ran this country 4 years and did a tremendous job. The economy was great. Jobs coming back to America. The border was getting a little bit more secure. I mean, he defended life. He put conservatives on the highest court in the land. I mean, I don't know what else people would want the president to do that he didn't do in those first 4 years in office.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I just, it is what it is. And these, like I say, I'm repeating myself, but these people just will absolutely refuse to.
Do they give you a reason why, Steve? Because I think what we have to do is we've got to equip you with the tools to go and evangelize these people and say, hey, look, you know, it's, you know, the country is at stake. The future of our nation, the future of freedom is at stake. What is it that we can do to help change their minds?
It's just the same old thing, Todd. They just think he's a mean, nasty person. You know, he makes fun of people's weight, and he makes, you know, he has all these nicknames for people. It's the same old rehash, and they just won't vote for him.
Well, tell him at least Trump has recognized all of his grandchildren. I mean, you know, Trump is not leaving off little Christmas stockings from the mantle there at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, you want to talk about a really profane individual, that's profane in my book. So anyway, look. Go ahead, Steve, real quick.
They mentioned that to me yesterday. They were furious with Biden for doing that. And someone told him, I'm sure, that he has to get on top of that or it's not going to look good during the election. But my friends were furious with him for doing that.
Well, look, if your friends are true conservatives, they're going to vote for the nominee, the Republican nominee. I don't care who it is. We've got to vote for that Republican nominee. And they're going to have to suck it up. Look, a lot of people in that poll say that's one of the reasons they love Trump, is that he's out there and he doesn't mind saying what's on his mind. And I think he speaks for a lot of people. Steve, got to run. 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. Our good buddy Paul Shanklin said, you know, this reminds me, talking about DeSantis, he reminds me of Romney at that coal mine. And this is I forgot about this, but it's true. Romney actually distanced himself from the coal miners because they were so grimy coming out of the mine. Huckabee or Trump would have run up and hugged every one of them and taken a group picture. But he says DeSantis is awkward around people and does not connect and does not know how to. It's a great observation. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
By the way, so there was a big gathering of all the candidates, including Trump, at the Iowa Republican dinner, the Lincoln dinner. They had a huge turnout. And they introduced, the way this worked, everybody got 10 minutes, and they introduced every candidate with the same intro music. But what's interesting is that whoever was responsible for the music actually queued up the music, and this was the Brooks and Dunn song, Only in America. And they queued up the song to a very interesting part. Let's take a listen to how this went down when Trump got introduced.
One might be
So there you have it. So Trump is coming out onto the stage. They introduce Donald Trump. The music kicks in and right to the point where it says one could end up going to prison. So there are some in the Trump world that are not very happy with this. But I'm curious, do you think this was a coincidence or do you think this was intentional? You think some of the establishment types are trying to stick it to President Trump there? Grace, I don't know. It was sort of ironic. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. And we start out with some really sad news. Coming from Hollywood, we understand that Pee Wee Herman has died. Paul Reubens was the actor who portrayed Pee Wee Herman. He was 70 years old, and no one knew this, but for the past 6 years, he had privately been battling cancer. And he left a message on social media before he passed away, saying that he always felt a huge amount of love and respect from friends, fans, and supporters. He said, I loved you all so much and enjoyed making art for you. Grace Baker, was that before your time? Because back in the, I think it was back in the 80s, 90s.
I've seen some of the movies and clips of him.
Mm.
And my mom kind of liked him. And, you know, we would joke. He was a funny guy. We liked him. So, no, not quite before my time because I was well-educated.
Well, I'm glad you liked him. I mean,
if you
didn't like him, that would be awkward.
No, like I'm just saying he was funny, and I've seen some of his movies and clips, yes.
Yeah. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Paul Reubens, so Pee Wee Herman. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So we have two great guests of our own joining us, our good friend Mary Walter, from the beautiful state of New Jersey, the Garden State is what they call it. Miss Mary, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing just fine and sad to hear about Pee Wee Herman. I feel so old.
Well, let's bring in Jeff Katz, who also feels old, our afternoon host from WRVA. And before we go any further, Jeff Katz, you're in the running to be what, the best radio host in all of Richmond? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay. Well, don't sound too terribly excited about it. Where can people go to vote for you?
They can text. They can text 852-804-569-5678.
All right. We'll get that number out again. And folks, get something to write that down with. But so the news just breaking here, guys. Pee Wee Herman kicking the bucket.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'm kind of with Mary though. I'm feeling a little bit old just thinking about that. And along with Grace and you, I mean, he provided an awful lot of smiles and laughs over the years. I would say for a comic actor, that's a life well lived.
Indeed. Well, guys, we will move on from there. We've got a story up at our website, toddstearns.com, and you can check that out. Let's just jump into. I've got so much I want to talk to you guys about, and I want to start with this beer situation involving Ron DeSantis over the weekend. Everybody seems to be fixated on the fact that he was just so awkward drinking beer, and other people are wondering, why is the campaign so anxious to get this guy out there holding a beer bottle, guzzling booze, working the bar? What's going on here? We're going to start with Mary Walter.
Yeah, they're trying to reboot his campaign, which to me has just been shockingly ineffective. So they're trying to make him seem like every guy, right? More relatable. I just think, who cares how he drinks a beer, really? That's what we're going to judge people on now. That's how we decide who the best guy to deal with China is. How does he drink a beer? Okay. So there's way more pressing qualifications. Unfortunately for Ron DeSantis, he's learned from Trump, and he's kind of like Trump light, just like a kinder, gentler Trump. We already have Trump. If I want Trump, I'm going to vote for Trump.
Jeff Katz.
Well, I kind of like the positioning of Trump light with the whole beer thing, you know, less filling, great taste, the whole bit of it. It was, I don't know if I would say cringeworthy, but man, it was weird watching him in that situation. And Mary's spot on. They're trying to get this campaign back on track. I personally happen to love Ron DeSantis. I just spent a week down in Florida, and I can see that he's done great work down there and has been a super effective governor. But boy, the presidential campaign just, I don't know if it's been on the wrong track, it's had the wrong people, but it does seem as if it's rebooting. And when you're only a couple of weeks into the campaign, that's not necessarily a good thing.
You know, guys, it's interesting. Ed Rollins, the legendary political analyst and campaign manager, the guy is just a brilliant strategist, actually left Trump and joined Ron DeSantis, launched a big pack, the whole nine yards. And now he's done. He says that there's really no one to blame here but the candidate himself, Ron DeSantis. And he says it's not the campaign's fault. It's actually DeSantis himself. He's just not doing it out on the campaign trail. Your thoughts on that?
Well, of course he's going to blame the candidate because he's running the campaign. Of course he's not going to say, oh, it's my fault. He's going to blame the candidate. It makes sense. I don't know what's going wrong there, but they had a horrible launch. Remember that horrific launch on Twitter Spaces?
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
Horrific launch. Whose idea was that? Was that Ed's idea? And I think Ron DeSantis, you know, you keep hearing let Ron be Ron, but if this is who he really is, and maybe he's just a bad campaigner, maybe that's just who Ron DeSantis is, and if you can't fix that, Then it is the candidate's fault. But I wonder if it really is his fault.
You know what? I don't think he's a bad candidate at all and a bad campaigner. I've watched both of his campaigns in Florida because we go back and forth quite a bit. As he's campaigned in Florida for his first election and then for his reelection, he's been great. I mean, he really is wonderful with crowds. He's great with speeches. I personally think he's right on the issues. I wonder if it's sort of a Tim Tebow situation, though. You remember Tim Tebow was the greatest college football player in Florida, really. And then when it came time to get to the NFL, man, he just couldn't quite get it done. He wasn't quite in his space. I don't know who it is that is to blame. I can tell you, just again with personal observation and insight, I think DeSantis is great on issues and traditionally has been a great campaigner. So this whole thing has been shocking to me. And Mary points out the whole Twitter space launch. God, he needs to be on radio and television. I mean, something that is not going to be susceptible to all of these ins and outs.
No doubt about that. Yeah. And let me qualify here. Ed Rollins is not running the campaign. He was creating a PAC to raise money for the campaign.
Okay.
So his observation is this is not working. And again,
gotcha.
I'm with guys. I'm very surprised, and it seems like maybe he's trying too hard to convince people that he's, you know, Trump 2.0, and maybe that's the issue. But anyway, at this point, Trump putting out a statement today saying he supports the debates. He wants to see who his running mate's going to be. Oh, throwing a little shade there. That's pretty brilliant.
That's awesome.
Oh, my word. All right. I've got to ask you about this crazy story out of D.C. where a sports talk host, was fired because he made a comment about a female TV reporter being Barbie. Now, the guy's name is Don. Is it Geronimo? Is that his
Geronimo.
Name?
Geronimo.
Geronimo. You see, you guys know because you're in that area. So anyway, Geronimo was doing a talk show and he made a comment about this reporter. Her name is Charlotte McBride, being Barbie. And so iHeartMedia has now fired this guy. He's gone, kaput. And she was very upset. She was very offended. And she said this was, you know, one of the most offensive things in her career. What I find interesting, though, guys, someone actually did a deep dive on this reporter. And several years ago, she actually posted a photograph of herself and a male co-anchor comparing themselves to Barbie and Ken.
Well, she also later in the broadcast, Geronimo went on to say, he said, he saw her again and said, oh, hey, there's that chick you thought, that you thought said tight. Wait, here's that chick that you thought said tight. So it's unsure what tight means. But if you call a chick tight, I'm not quite sure what that means. I think if it's just about the Barbie thing, for the love of God, you know, you're a sports reporter. She's in sports. She needs to grow a thicker skin. It's ridiculous. I don't know whether she complained. Who complained? Who made the you know, who's the one who complained about this is what I want to know.
Yeah.
And we don't know that part of the story.
It's a great question. And you know, sort of smart aleck comments and jabs are what Don Geronimo has done for, I don't know, 40 years. So I don't know that anybody would necessarily be surprised at that. I haven't heard it or actually read the official transcript. But again, if she complained, okay. But Todd, you're pointing out that she had a thing that compared herself and a co-anchor with Ken and Barbie. So, you know, then there's another question. It does seem to be an awful lot to do about an awful lot of maybe not nothing, but maybe so.
Well, apparently the Washington Commanders got very upset, and they're the partners, so I guess they carry the games on the stations, and that's why they decided to axe this guy. But again, it just seems to me, you know, when you're talking about sports talk radio, that's kind of the shtick. I mean, the guys are guys, and they're going to make these comments. And again, I'm with you, Mary. I don't understand the context of chick and tight. But again, just to give the guy the heave-ho, you know, and this is the thing. You know, a lot of people don't realize that most of the radio companies in America are not owned by, you know, conservatives. And many of the, and you've got to, people have to be very careful. Of course, I happen to own my own radio station, so we don't do that here.
Yes.
I'll just
we
leave
don't
that
know who
there.
Your boss finds out, Todd, because your boss is a tough guy, as I understand.
And may I say, as a woman working in this industry, I have had some men say some things that were so insanely inappropriate. But you have to learn, like it or not. You got to learn to zip it, honey, or else you're going to lose your job. I've been in that situation more than once. And I thought, you know what? I have no choice but to just shut up here and listen to this conversation that is happening in front of me right now. And, you know, they're having some boy talk and, you know, far, far, far worse than Barbie.
Where's Grace Baker at? Grace, turn your mic on for a moment, please. We'll get Grace to wait. So, Grace, you're like the lone gal here.
What? Yes, I am. There's always
a
building.
But you give as good as you get.
I do my best to. You got to be tough around here.
It's true.
It's just the way that is.
But when Grace gets, but Mary, I will say this in defense of men across America. If Grace gets upset with us, it's like you know what to pay.
Whoa. What are you trying to say, Todd? You saying I have a temper?
No, I'm not saying you have a temper, but you give as good as, you know, you'll just jump right into the conversation.
Well, you've got to.
I am
or people
digging a hole
just,
here.
You are. It's okay, Todd. It's just, you know, if you don't do that, people are just going to walk all over you, and you're like, okay, enough of this. You just got to, you know, put guys in their place sometimes.
How's Merlot?
Just good. Don't try to change the subject.
Jeff Katz and Mary Walter, the host of the Mary Walter podcast, by the way, one of the best podcasts in America. You've got to check this out.
Why,
and,
thank you.
Well, no, it's really a great podcast. Our time is quickly expiring, but I want y'all also to weigh in on this other crazy story. It involves a man who spent thousands of dollars on a dog costume, and this man now identifies as a collie. And he, like, walks around on all fours. And what's frightening is the man actually looks like a dog.
He really looks like a dog, Todd. I mean, you're not doing it justice. This guy really, really looks like a dog. And I think it's confirmation that this guy, after $14,000 on this costume, is either really ready for Halloween or he is just bat crap crazy. I mean, he's, come on, it's just nuts. But he really does look like a dog. He achieved his goal.
Well, I saw the video, and two things. Imagine how much good he could have done had he spent that money on therapy. And I'm watching him crawl around like that, and I'm like, holy Christmas, how old are you? Because my knees hurt watching this.
Right? Exactly. Like my back.
Yeah, it doesn't look comfortable at all.
I'm just curious, how does the guy go to the bathroom? That's what I want to know.
That was your burning question?
It was. It was. It's Monday, Mary. You got to work with me here.
And is he really eating the kibble, Todd? That's the question, too. Is he eating the kibble? How does he clean himself? What about the paws? My God. Tough situation.
Apparently, the guy's name is Toko, and he's got a YouTube channel, 32,000 subscribers, and he frolics on the lawn, rolls on the floor, and plays fetch.
Anybody want to bet that he's single? Right, like we all know he's single, right? Can you imagine? And which date do you tell your prospective, you know, partner, by the way,
bring a leash?
Yeah, I got this. Would you walk me later?
Wow.
Now, wait a minute. Are we being speciesist by assuming that he would be talking to a human female? Perhaps there are lovely female collies who think that he is just, you know, all that. I
mean, okay, maybe that's it's too early in the week for bestiality conversation, so we're just going to...
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. Wow. We're just completely off the rails here. All right, guys, we got to run Mary Walter podcast. Mary, where can people go to get that podcast?
Look for Mary Walter Radio on Getter and YouTube. The audio is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And tonight, 4:45 Eastern Time, I will be on Newsmax TV with Chris Salcedo and Michael Reagan.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure to watch Newsmax tonight. Jeff Katz, again, the number for people to vote for you.
Well, the easiest way, do it on social media. Go to TheJeffKatzShow.com. All the links are right there. TheJeffKatzShow.com.
All right.
Do it right now.
All right, guys. Go vote. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back, everybody. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just curious, any of you folks big Christian music fans out there? You know, back in the day, Grace Baker, that was sort of like the jam. You know, of course, when I was growing up, you just had a handful of Christian singers. You had Michael W. Smith.
Okay.
You had Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yes, of course.
And you had Amy Grant.
That's what I was about to say. Amy Grant was like the stuff.
The jam.
She was.
Everybody had, every Christian teenage boy had her poster on the wall.
And then she went, like, secular for a minute, and then back to Christian music, and now she's, you know.
Kind of all over the place.
All over the place.
Anyway, the headline, you know, so Christian music of late has become rather, dare I say, woke.
It's a lot of lyrics about water.
Yes. Oh, you know, I notice that. Every time I go to church for worship service, I feel like I go to the bathroom.
The river flowing.
Careful.
Tears of joy.
Dadgummit.
Sorry, Todd.
So anyway, the headline, drag queen tops Christian music charts on iTunes.
Wait, what?
A drag queen, her name is Flamey Grant.
Oh, no.
A man dressed like a woman.
That's horrible.
Said he was overjoyed to learn his debut album, Bible Belt Baby, has charted number one on iTunes.
Oh, my goodness.
And the song, by the way, and a lot of the Christian artists are celebrating this. They're calling it a landmark thing.
It's something. Not in a good way.
The album is the world's first contemporary Christian music record by a drag performer.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Talks about overcoming the spiritual trauma so often endured by gay people in conservative religious spaces.
What in the world? Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
There you go. So anyway, we'll get into more of that. Are you surprised by this? You know, a lot of people are complaining about worship music these days. They say it's just, ho-hum. They kind of miss the old hymns. But there you go. A drag queen is now the number one Christian artist in America. Go figure. We'll be right back. Ooh.
an American scene, lost in the cover of a magazine. Bible Belt baby, wanna be a queen. Lord Mama tried to keep a little boy clean.
So this is Flamy Grant, the drag queen, who is now the number one Christian singer in America, according to the iTunes charts. All right, we're good, Dylan. Thank you. I've heard enough. Grace, you would think that the guy would at least pretend to have a falsetto voice.
It's rough.
If he's going to portray a woman.
Yeah, his voice is still too low. Sorry.
This is
not pleasant.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is everything that is wrong with the Christian music industry right now. And you know what? Not a single person in that world is condemning this.
I haven't heard anybody saying anything.
No.
No.
They'll go. Look, you fly a flag or hold a 4th of July celebration at your church. Oh, they'll come after you.
That's true.
But this is okay? Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. Speaking of not okay, and I've got more to say about this drag queen dude, but we've got to talk about the Boy Scouts. So they're holding their big national jamboree in West Virginia, and it's not going well. Now, back in 2017, 40,000 people turned out for the jamboree. This year, I think there are, 14,000, 15,000 people showed up. Still a big crowd. But this is the very first year that gay groups have been allowed to pitch tents at this national jamboree. And they're waving the rainbow flags. They have pronoun stickers they're handing out. And they're also giving out diversity patches. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Boy Scouts, as you know it, are gone. And I want to bring in our next guest to talk about this because there's something good happening in spite of all of this. Our good friend Mark Hancock with Trail Life USA joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's great to hear from you.
Mark, you know, we were playing that music from the drag queen who is now the top Christian artist in America, and you look at what's happening with the Boy Scouts right now, and I think an argument could be made that our culture and our very way of life is under assault here.
Well, there certainly has been a change over the last generation or so where we seem to be confused about a lot of things, and that has really affected the next generation, and boys in particular, paying a price for a culture that just isn't sure, as sure of itself and who it is, and just really tragic what we see going on with boys today. So Trail Life USA has stepped into that gap to say that boys are important, and we need to focus on the strength of boys and not confuse them about who it is that they are.
I was really stunned by the numbers that were reported in the Washington Post. They say about 15,000 scouts showed up at the jamboree compared to more than 40,000 back in 2017. They say overall the scouts lost half its membership between 2019 and 2020. And they document it, and they just can't seem to put together, they can't figure out why the decline here and why people are leaving in droves. But they lay it all out. 2015, that's when they admitted gay. They started allowing gay men to join. Then came the transgender scouts, then biological girls in 2018. And, of course, all of those horrible, horrible sex abuse cases.
Yeah, it's been a steady progression on their part to kind of abandon the values that they had held so high for so many years. And these are the folks who gave us presidents and senators and astronauts and world leaders and civic leaders, and they were known for turning boys into good, strong men. But they've decided along the way somehow, and they've sort of lost their way, Todd, and they're out there in the tall grass somewhere, and so there's no telling where they're going to be next. But it's just tragic. So like I said, the effect on boys who lost their place where they can go and be boys and be in a company of men in a male-centric environment to understand what it means to be a man in this culture, it's really tragic. But I'm thankful that the volunteers and folks in Trail Life have stepped up and said, hey, you know, we're going to fill that spot. We're going to make sure that boys can be boys, that they can be recognized for their strengths and not confused about who they are.
And I think that is so important, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. I was on the Boy Scouts website, and when you click on the About tab, normally it would go to, okay, here's who we are, here's what we do. You know, when you click on that About tab, it takes you directly to their diversity, equity, and inclusion page. And I think that's ultimately what Boy Scouts has become now, where really the people who are least likely to be welcomed are, in fact, those heterosexual Christian boys who the organization was originally designed for.
Yeah, it is kind of tragic. You know, it's part of our oath to treat others as we want to be treated. And, you know, I can appreciate saying, hey, let's be welcoming and kind to people who even aren't like us. And I can totally support that. But it's actually becoming an environment where people who are like us are not welcome there. And that's just really sad that families that hold traditional biblical values of things like sexuality and who it is that we are, what it is that we believe, that there are fewer and fewer places for them to go. But we stand in Trail of USA, unapologetic Christian, Christ-centered, boy-focused. We believe that boys and girls are different, which is a radical thing to say in the society today, but we believe boys and girls are different, and that boys need a program that's specifically aimed at them and helps them grow into good, strong, godly men.
And, of course, Trail Life was sort of birthed out of that. I mean, you know, one of the most amazing things about Trail Life USA is the fact that most of your members are not coming from the Boy Scouts. These are young kids who have not been a part of a scouting organization. And now here you guys are celebrating 10 years of Trail Life USA.
Yeah, that's really exciting. We were kind of, our beginnings were as people began to see the Boy Scouts losing touch with their traditional moorings and say, someone's got to do something about this. This is not good for boys. We're not against anybody, but we are for boys. And so now, of course, we're in over 1,000 troops across the country, over 50,000 members participating in every state in the United States. And we're out there in a Christ-centered, unapologetically Christian organization, growing boys into godly men. It's not just outdoor Sunday school. It is an outdoor, rugged adventure organization. Boys come for the adventure. The parents put them there for the character and leadership opportunities. And it's the space that the Boy Scouts used to provide so faithfully over years, but they just lost their way.
Mark, I know a lot of people are listening and they're saying, wow, this sounds tremendous. And folks, you can go to traillifeusa.com if you'd like more information, traillifeusa.com. One of the questions that I've gotten, and I've noticed this whenever we do a story about you guys, they say, man, this sounds great, but you know what? How can we guarantee that Trail Life is gonna stay focused on Christ and focused on boys?
Yeah, that's a valid question. I would have that same fear. You know, at the beginning, about 50% of our members were former Boy Scouts, and they were asking that question because they felt betrayed by the Boy Scouts. So you got to remember, we're forged in the fires of this cultural battle, and we saw where the Boy Scouts went wrong. And so we position ourselves in terms of our legal documents and the way that we're structured, where we cannot let go of those things. Our membership standards are protected and held in place by our members. And with the Boy Scouts, the decision to make these membership standard changes were made at the top. But in Trail Life USA, there is a vote in every troop, and 80% of our troops would have to agree to change anything about our statement of faith, our statement of values, our membership standards, our oath, all those core things that identify who it is we are. 80% of our troops would have to vote to change that. And so we put that decision-making out in the field. So churches that are joining us because of our values, we think it's very unlikely that they're going to vote to change those values. So, and plus, if we weren't that way, Todd, there'd be no reason for us to exist. I mean, you might as well just join the Boy Scouts if you want an organization that doesn't uphold these values. So, you know, our only reason for being is that we have made this commitment. So many men have given of their lives devoted towards the next generation of boys and restoring the value of boyhood and manhood. It's not like boys are some kind of social disease that needs to be eradicated. No, they're a wonderful, beautiful, marvelous creature that needs to be raised up and shown a good model. You know, one in four boys now don't have a father in their home. 76% of school teachers are female. Boys are lacking in male models. And so in Trail Life USA, in the male-centric environment, boys get to see good, strong men, and we're not going to back away from that. They get to see what it is that they can grow up into, and that's making all the difference.
Well, it's exciting what's happening at Trail Life USA, and I think that your organization is so vitally important for the health of the nation. Much like the Boy Scouts back in the early days were really instrumental in raising up and training up that generation of young men into men, I am excited to see what Trail Life USA is doing, and you guys have a big celebration coming up in August to commemorate this huge milestone, 10 years. Tell us what's going to happen at this gathering.
Yeah, we do. It's our 10th anniversary. We're celebrating that in about 2 weeks, in just outside of Louisville, Kentucky, and hundreds of Trail Life leaders coming together from across the country to celebrate our 10 years, to draw attention to the pioneers of our movement and look forward to a beautiful future as we just continue to grow. Even in this environment where you would think that who would start an organization that's focused on these kind of values and expected to succeed in this environment? Well, parents are loving it. They love an organization that aligns with those values, a place that they can put their boys, where people recognize that boys and girls are different and boys need this opportunity. So we're coming together to celebrate that, to look at our future, to continue to dream about the growth that we're seeing happening in front of our eyes. And it really is, Todd, somebody needed to step into that space and say, we will stand for boys. We will stand. Nobody else is caring. They're twice as likely to be in special education, three times more likely to be ADHD. They fall behind girls in every single academic category. Who is standing up for boys? The boys got themselves have abandoned them. So Trail Life USA stepped in the gap. And that's what we're celebrating at our 10-year anniversary. The fact that we're here, we're strong, we're growing. The Boy Scouts is hemorrhaging members. We are growing 30% every year. And so it's not the outdoors that people are afraid of. That's not the reason Boy Scouts is failing. They're failing because they lost their way and their focus on boys. And so we've picked that up, and that's what we're celebrating.
Wow, it's terrific. Well, Mark, congratulations. And, you know, you've got big fans here on this program, and anything we can ever do to help you guys out, you just let us know.
Todd, you're the best. We appreciate you. Love what you're doing there, and just keep praying for us.
We'll definitely do that. Mark Hancock, everybody, the CEO of Trail Life USA, traillifeusa.com. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
And by the way, if you are interested in starting a Trail Life group in your church, your community, just go to the website, and they will be more than happy to get you connected. And for all of you moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, you got to get this free book. It's an ebook called Raising Godly Boys. And folks, seriously, if you're talking about changing the direction of this country, we're going to do that by raising up a generation of godly, patriotic young men in this country. And you got to get yourself a copy of this book. Mark wrote it. He's just an incredible writer, just a brilliant mind. Raising Godly Boys. You can get a free copy, no strings attached, at traillifeusa.com. By the way, new survey out from thehill.com. More teenage boys in America are now trending conservative. Now, this is a brand new poll that came out. There was a Gallup survey last month that came out, and it suggested the same thing. So something is happening here in the country, and it's as if a generation of boys that are they're finally putting their foot down, and they're saying, you know what, enough of this wokeness, enough of the attacks on toxic masculinity, enough of the drugging of the kids, we're done here, and we're taking a new direction. And I'm telling you, folks, watch these young people, because we're talking about 11th and 12th graders. Many of them are going to be able to vote in the upcoming presidential election. And you watch what happens here. Something is happening. Something is afoot in the country, and it is a great thing. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones before we take a break here. Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Jim. What's going on?
Not much, but it's people like you and your radio station that are causing these boys to become young conservatives and just keep it up.
Well, appreciate that, Jim. Thank you.
Another thing, too, are the transgenders trying to infiltrate the Girl Scouts?
Oh, yes, but they've been doing that since 2011, I believe, Jim. So they've had a policy on the books that if you identify as a girl, you can join the Girl Scouts.
Well, the thing that I don't understand, you know, these kids are saying they're having trouble, you know, determining their sexuality. The only way to determine that is tell them to look in their britches.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of old school, you and I, Jim, and I mean, that's, you know, it sort of comes naturally. You know what I mean?
It's
really sad, and again, this is just incredibly disturbing because we all sort of figured this is where it was going to go. The reporting is that thousands of those scouts actually showed up at the LGBT tents at the Jamboree, and they were all given pronoun patches, and they were given diversity patches as well. I mean, it's not the Boy Scouts we grew up in.
Well, that's a fact, too. I was in the Boy Scouts for a couple of years, but you know, thing is, it's just changed completely. And I think this will just kind of maybe in the next generation blow over, just like you said there, some of these young conservatives coming up. Maybe they'll be the ones to breed more conservatives, and we can turn this thing around.
I'm with you. Jim, appreciate that call. By the way, Grace, I was in Cub Scouts, and we had to go pick up trash. We did a lot of trash collection.
Free labor.
I had a good time. Just a couple of concerns. I fell off our float. We had a float in the parade, the 4th of July parade in South Haven. I fell off the float.
That's unfortunate.
It was unfortunate. I enjoyed the Pine Derby, the Pinewood Derby, though. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
me and my dad built our car and everything. It was a lot of fun.
Did you win?
No.
It's okay.
But I gave up. I couldn't shimmy up you had to shimmy up a pole, and I just couldn't do it. So
that's tough for anybody.
Too much shimmying going on. These days, they'd call that twerking a pole.
That's true. That's
we don't need that visual. We don't need that visual at lunch. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Are you beginning to see, especially among teenage boys, are you beginning to see a shift towards conservative thinking in politics? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, I need to ask all of our Chattanooga listeners, if you listen to us on Nooga Radio, what's wrong with you people? Oh, you've drawn the ire of the cancel culture mob. So Chattanooga has a minor league ball team called the Lookouts, right? And because Lookout Mountain, Chattanooga Lookouts.
That makes sense.
And their logo, their mascot, are eyeballs, big bulging eyeballs.
Cartoony
eyeballs.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they've got a brand new t-shirt, a new team t-shirt, and it's got the words. I want you to guess why this is causing controversy.
Okay.
It spells out Nooga, but instead of the two O's, it's got the eyeballs.
Oh no.
And
yeah. No comment, Todd. No comment. Don't dig that hole.
So anyway, people are very upset. And they're saying, this is racist, you people. And I don't know if the word Nooga is racist. That's Nooga. The nickname of the city, right? It's Nooga.
Nooga Radio.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, they're saying, oh, this is a racist slur. And
here
so now, now the t-shirt has been pulled.
Oh, no.
And you're not allowed to buy it anymore.
Now it's like super rare if you have it. It's going to be
right?
Like worth a lot of money down the road, probably.
I'm telling you, man, the country's gone plumb batty. I'm telling you. This is nuts.
You can't do anything nowadays.
No, you can't. So my condolences to you folks over in Nooga Radio Land.
Sorry, guys.
Really? I'm just not seeing it, but you never know. All right, got to run. 844-747-8868. That is our number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. So glad that you have decided to hang out with us today. And we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. As we await word from Capitol Hill regarding today's testimony behind closed doors, the testimony of Devin Archer, who was Hunter Biden's ex-business partner. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we're going to be getting some audio here momentarily of Biden's pal, his de facto lawyer, Congressman Daniel Goldman, who looked visibly shaken and sweaty after the hearing. Goldman admits that Joe did coordinate with Hunter's business associates, but it was just to say hi. So we'll get that audio to you here momentarily. It's just unbelievable. So, folks, we'll see where all of this goes and what all of this means. I doubt that we're going to get I don't know if we're going to get justice here, but there's a chance at least we're going to get to the truth. And maybe that's good enough for right now. Maybe that's just good enough. So another story, speaking of the truth, we've been following this weird case of Barack Obama's private chef who went missing and then drowned. They found the body. And that's it. We're not getting a lot of information coming out of this case. And we know for a fact that somebody on that estate, Obama's $12 million seaside mansion, actually called 911 for help. That was the initial reporting. That was the initial news coming from law enforcement. They refused to identify that person. As a matter of fact, when you look at the 911 logs for the week there at Martha's Vineyard, every 911 call is very well documented. You know who called, you know what time they called, and you know the reason why they called. And everything is there for the day except for the call from Barack Obama's house. And that log entry was left empty. There's nothing there. We also know that there was at least one other person paddleboarding there at the estate. But they refused to release that information. So they're not telling us who called 911. They're also not telling us who was on the other paddleboard that was out on the pond with the private chef who died, who, by the way, we were originally told was not a good swimmer, could not swim, but now we know him to actually be an accomplished swimmer. And there's video evidence of this man proving that he, in fact, not only can swim, but that he was a very physically fit individual. We were told initially that he drowned in 8 feet of water, but now we're being told that was only at high tide, and in fact, the water depths were probably around 3 or 4 feet deep. So we're just getting a lot of information that is conflicting. And then there was a photograph over the weekend of President Obama playing golf. Someone snapped a photograph, and again, I will just describe to you the several of his fingers were bandaged, and there also appeared to be some sort of a bruising around his eye. Now, what does all of that mean? I don't know. But there's just something odd, and it very well may be that this is all on the up and up, that this was a tragic accident, that the guy drowned, and it's exactly as they reported. But the problem is the facts and the circumstances keep changing on an almost daily basis. Isn't that odd? Isn't that peculiar, ladies and gentlemen? Just want to point that out. We'll keep you updated on that, and we'll be checking with our good friend Robin Walensky. She's been all over that story. But something just very unusual circumstances. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. There's a big controversy right now in San Francisco. You know, they've launched the new logo high atop Elon Musk's headquarters in the Bay City. And city leaders are very upset. So basically, it's a giant illuminated X. And I guess it's okay. I'm just not a big fan of the X, to be honest with you. I don't know what's wrong with Twitter. What was wrong with the little blue bird? The pudgy blue bird. What was wrong with that? By the way, Grace, I don't know if this happened to you, but overnight, I guess they updated the logo on the app.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find Twitter. What happened to my app?
So I admit I have TikTok. So it's like right next to TikTok. And then both the logos, like the color scheme is very similar. So I was like, what am I looking at? I was like, wait, that's Twitter? Oh, no. X. It just says X.
So now San Francisco is enraged over this. And they're saying, how dare Elon Musk erect a giant X sign over his building? He does not have approval for that. He does not have the authority. And so, I feel the only person I would feel bad for would be the residential tower across the street.
Sure.
And, you know, that's your window. And now you have a giant illuminated X staring at you.
That's kind of depressing.
I can see where people would be upset.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, San Francisco has launched a full-scale investigation into this Grace Baker.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know. It's a giant X, but it's his building, correct?
It's his building.
But he doesn't have a permit to put that up, probably.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. Well, California is strict about everything.
Well, here's what San Francisco is not investigating, by the way. Shooting up heroin in public. They're not investigating
that. They don't care about that.
That's right. Robbing and pillaging and plundering Walgreens stores. Yeah, they're not investigating that. Defecating on the sidewalks.
No big deal.
Mm-mm. No, they're not looking into that.
But a giant X, that's a big deal.
Remember a few days ago, we told people about these guys, they stole a car and they took a wrong turn and it literally flew into the air in San Francisco landed. Yeah. So not only have they decided not to investigate, they dropped the charges on the guys who stole the car.
And they're just out walking around. Now,
yeah, they're not investigating that. By the way, all these people going out and beating up Asian Americans, just walking on the streets, minding their own business. Yeah, they're not investigating that.
If Gavin Newsom decides to run, just put up images of California and say, do you want America to look like this?
True. All those tent cities, by the way, on the sidewalks. Yeah, they're not investigating that either.
No. Of course they're not. They've got better things. You know, they're like, oh, we've got more important things to do.
I could go on, but we'd be here all day.
It's exhausting.
Now, you're going to have to help me out here, guys. I want to play some audio from Oakland, California. This was a, where is Mike? I lost my cut list, Grace.
It's a Monday, Todd. It's okay.
There was a big council meeting, and the district attorney showed up in Oakland, California. This is directly across the bay from San Francisco. It is a radical town. I mean, they've got a radical district attorney, and she is much like the district attorney we have here in Memphis, a guy by the name of Steve Mulroy. This guy loves criminals, and he hates law-abiding citizens. And so in Oakland, though, it's actually worse because they voted to defund the police. And so guess what happened? So they defund the police, and guess what happens? Crime is off the charts. Now, keep in mind, the liberal citizenry of Oakland were demanding this. We demand that we defund the police. We don't want those police patrolling our streets. We're living in a police state. That's what the good people of Oakland said. Well, it didn't take long for the criminals to figure out, well, wait a second, they don't have any cops patrolling the streets in Oakland. So the criminals started the rampage. It is so bad in Oakland, it makes San Francisco look like Shangri-La. So they had a big meeting at a Presbyterian church. It was packed. They were filled to overflowing, so much so there was a line of people around the street corner, people trying to get in to go after the district attorney and ask questions. So the district attorney sets up this. I'm setting up this audio for you. It needs to be set up so you understand the context. So the district attorney is trying to explain to them about criminal reform, but these liberals are having none of it. And they said, we're not here for a slide presentation. We want to know what the heck you're going to do about the criminals that are not only trying to target our businesses, but now they're coming after our homes. Take a listen.
A crowd of people outside wasn't even allowed in as Montclair Presbyterian Church was filled to capacity. The crowd inside was eager to talk about violent crime and started interjecting as District Attorney Pamela Price tried to go into a presentation about Criminal Justice 101.
Some people want to know it because everybody does not know it, okay?
Address the issue.
Okay. The frustration wasn't just aimed at the district attorney. Captain Clay Birch from the Oakland Police Department was questioned about what officers are doing to prevent crime.
Fellas, brothers in blue, I know your hands are tied, but you got to be doing some preventative stuff.
Yes.
You know, you standing here on the corner right here in Montclair, you can hear the bucket cars come up here robbing us blind. You know?
Amen.
I mean, you know, please talk about preventative, not a crime happens.
Captain Birch tried to explain how the department's hands are tied, especially when it comes to property crime.
If all we have is a burglary and my officer sees five cars being broken into
and that car takes off, we can't chase that car.
But a lot of the anger tonight was directed at crime sprees where kids are the suspects. District Attorney Pamela Price said in a recent case there wasn't enough evidence to take a group of kids to court.
What happened after they were let go?
They probably attacked someone else.
Yeah, I mean, vicious little monster.
Many concerned residents wanted to hear more about how criminals are punished.
I just want to say that there must be consequences.
Yes, yes.
It's unreal that there are no consequences for these children.
Price did talk about the movement within the state to decriminalize kids, a movement that she identifies with.
One of my goals is that I will give young people hope. That because I was on doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, but because some people believed in me, that they helped me find another way.
All right, let me explain this, my dear, Madam District Attorney. These young people don't need hope. They need a swift kick in the behind. That's what these kids need. They don't need love and hugs and kisses. If they're out there carjacking you at gunpoint, they need a swift kick in the derriere. That's what they need. They need a mom and a dad in the household and somebody implementing discipline. That's what they need here. And I am torn. I am really torn here because you know me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm all about law and order, and I feel part of me wants to feel for these people. But at the same time, they're a bunch of radical leftist progressives. They basically asked for this. They elected these people. So part of me says, you know what? Welcome. I am glad you're finally seeing the light. But the other side of me says, you know what? You get what you vote for. You get what you vote for. So I don't know. I'm torn. I'm really torn. The same thing in Memphis, where now Biden sent down the Justice Department. We are in a majority black city. Black police chief, majority black city council, all Democrats, by the way. We've got a majority of the police force is black. A majority of the command leadership of the police department is black. We have a black county sheriff. We have a black county commissioner. And it's a majority black city. I think 70% black. And yet the Justice Department is coming in and said, we have never seen such a racist police department before. That, you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. But what I find interesting is that a few months ago, the city council said, well, we've got to stop these pretextual traffic stops because doing that is racist. You can't expect people to obey the traffic laws. That's racist. You can't go out there and tell people not to do donuts in the middle of the roadway. That is racist. And so we have some video up on our Facebook page. I would encourage you to go and look at it. This weekend in beautiful downtown Memphis, right near Beale Street, which is a massive tourist mecca, you had a bunch of people out there at night, and they were doing donuts in the streets. They had literally taken over the entire street. The police car shows up. I mean, it is a dangerous situation. The police show up, and they don't know what to do. And literally, as the police car is sitting there, the patrol car comes up. Folks, I kid you not, go watch the video. What do they do? What do the thugs who are terrified of the police do? They do donuts around the police cruiser. And you know why they're doing it? Because they know that the district attorney is on their side. They know the Memphis City Council is on their side. Same thing is happening in Oakland. Same thing happening in Chicago, in New York City, Los Angeles, Oakland, California. The thugs are ruling the day, and elections have consequences. What do you want me to say? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Folks, talk about fighting back. That's what Trump is doing, and he wants you to get a copy of the brand-new best-selling book by our good buddy David Horowitz. President Trump says America is facing a final battle in 2024, and this book exposes the far left's attempts to end democracy as we know it. David names names like George Soros. You name it, he's in the book. President Trump says you got to get the final battle because the next election may be the last. Mike Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to prepare by getting David's book. And folks, we're going to give you an opportunity to get it free All you have to do is go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com and get a copy today. All right, two big music stars doing something over the weekend that got headlines. Only one, though, got major headlines. Here's the one that didn't get the major headlines that should have gotten the major headlines. Country star Craig Morgan re-enlisted in the Army Reserve. The guy's 59 years old, and he said he's excited to serve once again. And it happened at a concert. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? He actually was sworn into the U.S. Army Reserve on stage at the Grand Ole Opry in front of a sold-out crowd. He says he's excited to serve his country, and he hopes of encouraging others to do the same thing. I love that. This is great. Good for you, Craig Morgan. Good guy. And then there's Cardi B. And this one's a little weird, Grace Baker. But Cardi B, she was performing at a concert, and someone threw, I guess, I don't know, a beverage.
Sure, like a beer or something.
Yeah, it was either beer or urine. But they threw something at Cardi B, and she became enraged, and she threw her microphone at the person who threw the beverage.
That probably hurt a little more than the beverage.
Well, look, here's my take on it. I mean, if you're going to throw something at somebody on stage, you basically get what's coming at you.
I mean, you're kind of asking for it at that point.
But it was interesting because as she stopped, I mean, she was very upset. She was right in the middle of a song, and she was rapping this song. And it was interesting because she stopped, but the song kept going. She was actually lip-syncing the whole thing. She was lip-syncing the whole concert.
That's horrible. I know they normally have, like, background vocals kind of playing, but if she can't even do her own stuff and she's just lip-syncing, that's just lame.
It was interesting. I was following the lyrics, which I had to look up a couple of the words. Pretty profane stuff.
Oh, it's horrible.
And it's a pretty violent song. And so an argument could be made that the fan was just reacting to the music.
Just following her orders.
I'm just saying. There you go. A little Milli Vanilli action there. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. We got a lot of books in here, don't we, Grace Baker? I mean, a lot of books. It's to the point where we can have our own library.
We're very well read, that's for sure.
Well, we are, and one of the reasons why is our audience is actually very well read, and you guys move a lot of books. And so anyway, all that to say, we're very careful about the kinds of books that we bring on because we don't want to be like a library show. But every now and again, a book comes across our path that really gets my attention. And this book certainly did. It's called Legacy of Life. And I would almost describe it as a coffee table book, but it's really more than that because you want to sit down and you want to read this. But it's got 50 tributes written by 50 of America's most respected influencers in the area of life and the pro-life movement. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have the general editor of Legacy of Life joining us. He is also president of the Florida Family Policy Council, our good friend John Stemberger. John, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Great to hear your voice again.
And congratulations on the book. It's it's a lot of work to put one of these together.
Yeah, I mean, juggling 50 different authors and editing all their work was quite the task. But it came out, it's just a gorgeous piece of artwork and history. So many beautiful images and remarkable stories about these powerful leaders.
I'm curious how you came about to find 50. There were so many people out there that have been so instrumental in the pro-life movement. Tell us about the selection process.
Yeah, so what I did, it started out as an idea for a calendar, but then I thought, I can't look at Henry Hyde's face the entire month of January. There's no way that's going to work.
Wow.
So I thought, and then we thought, okay, maybe a Time Life magazine, but then we thought, no, it's not permanent enough. Then we thought a commemorative table book. We said, that's it. So I surveyed 15 different leaders, national leaders. And I said, exclude yourself. Who are the greats over the last 50 years? that brought us to this moment of overturning Roe versus Wade. And so I began to collect and cross-reference those names from all these leaders, and I said, exclude yourself. I didn't put my input in at all. And we came up with just under 50 leaders. And I thought, okay, that's it. 50 years, 50 leaders, and 12 is not enough. There was clearly way more than 12 leaders that needed to be honored. And so that's how we came up with the number and the context of the book.
Well, it's a beautiful book and so well done. You also write about some of the great legends who are no longer with us, people like Ronald Reagan and Francis Schaeffer and Mother Teresa.
Yeah, the book is divided up into four sections, the founders, the builders, the strategists, and the innovators. And you're really reading the history of our movement through reading these beautiful stories about each one of the lives. And it's just amazing. There's even little pieces of history that have never been published before about these people's lives that are in the book. And so it came out so beautiful and so striking. We wanted it to be so beautiful that even a person that wasn't pro-life would pick it up and go, wow, what is this? And be drawn into it. Ultimately, we want young people to read the book and see it and see their own lives. We need a whole new army of people that are going to rise up and stand for life now in a strategic way and in an innovative way. And so that's really my heart and motive, is to try to provoke the next generation of leaders in this movement.
John, it's so important to do that. And I love that you've included younger people in the movement, like Lila Rose and Kristen Hawkins, and of course, our good friend Kristen Wagner over at Alliance Defending Freedom, and to really encourage that next generation to take up the mantle. You know, going back to what Reagan said, you know, about freedom, I think also the argument over life and the fight for life, it doesn't just end with one generation. Every generation has to fight for that.
That's right. And we got Ben Shapiro to do the foreword, really a powerful foreword in the book. I didn't think I would pull that off, but he heard about the vision. And he said, I'd love to do it. And so he wrote the foreword to the book. But it's really like you have Dr. Al Mohler writing the tribute to Francis Schaeffer. You know, you have Dr. Robbie George at Princeton writing the tribute to Mother Teresa. You know, so it's big authors, big leaders writing these tributes. And it's just, it came out far more beautiful and far more powerful than I ever thought it could be.
The website is legacyoflifebook.com, folks, and I would love for you to go and check that out, legacyoflifebook.com. And the book came out last month, so you're going to be able to get yourself a copy now if you go to the website, or really, I guess, wherever people sell books.
Yes, also available on Amazon. The price is slightly higher, but you can get it on Amazon if you want more convenience.
I love this. So, John, looking ahead now as the life movement moves not just from Congress but really into the state houses, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges that we need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, we got to go back to the basics, you know, and we have to go back to helping people understand what's in mommy's belly. We have to be very simple about it. We have to persuade people. That's the bottom line. This cannot just be about the force of law. We have to change the hearts and the minds of every institution, every person. This is how we ended slavery, and we're going to need an entire army of generation of new leaders who are innovative, who are strategic, and who are thinking about how to talk about this issue, how to reach people on it, and to show that it's not a duck, it's not a Buick, it's a baby in mommy's belly, and we need to protect that child. He's the most vulnerable child, the most vulnerable person on the face of the earth, and so I think we need to go back to square one in terms of educating people about what we're talking about here.
All right. Well, John, congratulations. Well done. And what a terrific book, folks. And again, we've got the link on our live show blog, legacyoflifebook.com. That's legacyoflifebook.com. John, appreciate you.
Todd, thank you so much.
All right. John Stemberger, he is president of the Florida Family Policy Council. And boy, they do some great work down in the great state of Florida. All right, our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Got to tell you about our good friends over at MyPillow. They're celebrating 20 years, by the way. 20 years, over 80 million MyPillows sold. And folks, Mike has some wonderful celebratory deals just for our audience. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. So we have our very own page over at MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Now get this. You're going to be able to get a queen-size MyPillow for just $19.98, regular price $69.98. That's a lot of money, but trust me, it's worth it for a great night's rest. But you're also going to get deep discounts on all other MyPillow products, including those wonderful Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress toppers, and of course, my slippers, so many other products, MyPillow.com/Starnes. Now, just go to the website, use my promo code Starnes, and you're going to get the amazing offer on the queen-size MyPillows for just $19.98. You can also give them a call at 1-800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Now, this offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Folks, it's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. So go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and use that promo code Starnes.
This now, Jillian. This is intriguing to our viewers at home. Archer tells the House investigators that Hunter Biden put then VP Biden on a speakerphone more than 20 times to sell, quote, the brand, in parentheses, in business conversations. And Chad goes on to say that Archer testified that there was a value of adding Hunter Biden to Burisma's board, was the brand. Burisma is the energy company out of Ukraine. The argument was that then Vice President Joe Biden brought the most value to the brand. There's that phrase yet again. Archer also stated that Burisma would have gone under if not for the brand. Wow. In December of 2015, the owner of Burisma, a gentleman, the CEO who ran the company, placed constant pressure on Hunter Biden to get help from Washington, D.C. regarding the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. To tie this all together now, this energy company, Jillian, wanted to do business in America. There was even a suggestion through the story that they wanted to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange. But they could only do it if they got away from the investigation that was pending back in Ukraine. And this is the theory that Republicans have now, is that they had to draw Hunter Biden into it. They had to bring then Vice President Joe Biden into it to help get the prosecutor taken out of his job. That would clear the runway, so to speak, in order for Burisma to have greater success in the business community, not just in Ukraine, but specifically here in the United States.
All right. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Bill Hemmer on Fox News. And he is laying out the information that is just now beginning to come out from this private testimony that was delivered on Capitol Hill from Devin Archer, who is Hunter Biden's former business partner. I mean, this is pretty devastating stuff. In a nutshell, Archer confirms that Joe Biden was on more than 20 calls with his son, and those calls were about business dealings. In other words, the big guy was in on it. I mean, this is pretty insane information that's being testified to on Capitol Hill today. The question is it really going to make a difference in any of this? We will see. But clearly, the Democrat who is on the committee, and we had this audio from just a few moments ago, the Democrat on the committee sounded very nervous when he came out and faced the cameras.
Doesn't that contradict the president's statement saying that he never talked to any of Hunter Biden business associates? Clearly, he talked, whether it's about the weather or whatever, but he said specifically that he's never talked to them. Doesn't this contradict him?
I don't know what his comment is, and if we're going to... Well, I don't think that's what he said. He never said that he has never spoken to anyone. He said that he had nothing to do with Hunter Biden's business dealings. If he says hello to someone that he sees his son with, is he supposed to say, hi, son? Oh, no, I'm not going to say hello to the other people at the table or the other people on the phone. It's kind of a preposterous premise to think that a father should not say hello to people that the son are at dinner with, the son is at dinner with. And that is literally all the evidence is.
Was this like a party trick that Hunter Biden used to impress the people he was with?
Wow. There you go. Folks, I'm telling you, they've got him dead to rights. So the question is, will anybody investigate? Will a special prosecutor be appointed? Probably not, which is why Merrick Garland's got to go. President Trump over the weekend, speaking to a crowd in Erie, Pennsylvania, actually told the crowd that any Republican who does not go after Joe Biden, any Republican who does not go after Merrick Garland, and punish these Democrats by impeaching should themselves be primaried in the elections next year. And I think this is a brilliant strategy because we are in a war. This is a street fight for the future of our nation. And the Republicans, every single time, the Republicans in leadership, they just capitulate. They surrender. It's like they don't have a fight in them. Look, over the weekend, the Justice Department actually put out a memorandum telling them that, you know what, yeah, Archer is not going to be able to testify because we've got to arrest him on another crime. So, and we're going to do that before the testimony. There was so much blowback over the weekend that the Justice Department had to back off of that. And why did they back off? Because the Republicans, led by Matt Gaetz and Congressman Mike Johnson, our friend from Louisiana, among others, blew it out of the water. And they said, no, we're not going to tolerate this. So that's what Trump is saying here. We've got to get these Republicans to understand that we are in a fight for the heart and the soul of our nation. Meanwhile, you've got people like Congresswoman Nancy Mace. And by the way, Nancy Mace, she's the same person who came out a couple of weeks ago and said, oh, we can't be pro-life anymore. No, we've got to keep that under the radar. We can't be out there being pro-life because that's going to turn off voters. And now she's out there saying, oh, well, we've got to have some gun control. We can't be pro-Second Amendment. We might lose some voters. And then over the weekend, she actually comes out and says, oh, we can't be impeaching people because that might turn off voters and we might lose control of the House. Well, lady, what's the point? You've got control of the House. What is the point? Why don't you do this, Congresswoman Mace? Why don't you run it by your fiancé when you guys wake up in the morning and see what he has to say about it? But I'm tired. I don't know about you. I'm just tired of these people, these surrender Republicans. They don't have any fight in them. I mean, come on. What is Nancy? So Nancy Mace, she wants us to be what? Anti-gun? She wants us to be pro-abortion? I mean, that's what we call a Democrat. Certainly behaving like one. Anyway, I'm just saying that we've got a fight here. And this is a righteous fight, and this is a noble fight. We have yet to have anybody held accountable for what they did to Trump back in 2016 with the whole Russia collusion story. Why isn't Hillary Clinton being hauled before Congress? Why isn't there a special prosecutor going after Hillary? So look, here's the thing. All of these charges, the indictments against Trump, they can indict him till the cows come home, and they probably will. As a matter of fact, based on all this information coming out, this damning testimony today about Hunter Biden, I would say that by supper time, Trump will be indicted again by somebody. This is how they're playing the game. And by the way, when you look at that polling data from the New York Times and Siena College, the American people see through it. Everybody sees us for what it really is. And by the way, you're going to go after Trump on the secret classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. You're going to have to go after every other single president and vice president. Every single one of them. But they're not going to do that. And at the end of the day, nothing is going to happen with Trump. They want the man to die in prison. I mean, that's what they want. But the only people that deserve to die in prison are the people that currently occupy the Oval Office. And they have committed all sorts of crimes. So the question is, will the Republicans have the fortitude? Will they have the courage to do the right thing? And I'm with Trump on this. Anybody who is not going to stand and fight needs to go. We don't need squishy people in Congress anymore. We need rock-solid Republicans who are conservative, putting America first. That's who we need. People who are going to fight, who are going to stand up, and they're going to fight every single day because they know that's what it's going to take to save this country from the Democrats. So I say good for you, Mr. President, for calling them out on it. Good for you. And I really do hope that people listen very closely to what President Trump is trying to do here. The man's trying to save the country. That's what he's, and he's trying to save the Republican Party from themselves. By the way, was it Nikki Haley? I keep forgetting she's running for the White House. Anyway, Nikki Haley is out there trying to make herself somewhat relevant, And she said, hey, look, you know, Mitch McConnell's got to go. Even Nikki Haley, by the way, then Nikki Haley turns around because you're like, all right, good for you, Nikki Haley. Then she turns around and she says, yeah, Trump can't run. We can't have him as our nominee. All right, well, who do you want? Who do you want, Nikki Haley? You can't even get support from your entire family. Or maybe that is the magnitude of her 3% that she's polling right now. And by the way, that's a generous poll. 3%. Look at Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, the guy's doing a good job out there, but you know what? He's not moving the needle. Nobody's moving the needle except for one guy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Donald John Trump. And we have been on board the Trump train from day one because I believe the man is the only man who can go in there and root out the deep state mob. I'm telling you, he's the guy. All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up. Had a lot more to say, but we will save that for tomorrow. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com and check out the stories Caleb Park and his team are working on. And you folks, be good, America.